Now, as I say, tonight's just an introductory night for the gospel. We'll have a good speaker next week, so don't get discouraged tonight. We'll have our brother Norrie Amerson next week from Ardmore again along at 7 p.m. It'll be great to hear Norrie again and hear this man that is so well read in the Bible. And that's next Lord's Day again, 7. On Wednesday night then, we're continuing our prayer meeting and Bible study, and we're looking at lessons from the life of Peter, this great character in our Bible, who sometimes is given bad press, but a real eager man to seek and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's at 8 p.m. next Wednesday night, and all's welcome to these meetings in the Lord's will. If he hasn't come again, the hall will be open. We'll not sing any more just tonight. We'll just open our scriptures. I was introduced to a wee verse a few weeks ago that I hadn't noticed before. And then there was these follow-on verses, and I just was enjoying them. And I was just thinking on them, on the one particular that I was introduced to. And tonight I would just like to share in those thoughts. It's Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. And in each verse here you'll see two words, his own. You'll see two words in these verses we're going to read. And it's the two words, his own. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then the next one we'll read is in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. And this is a solemn verse. It was the apostles choosing to replace Judas. And it says here, and they prayed in verse 24, and they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen," a replacement here. Verse 25, "that he may take part of his ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he may go to his own place." That he may go to his own place. If you go back to Numbers chapter 27, in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 27. This is the verse that I was introduced to a few weeks ago. And another solemn verse. Numbers chapter 27. And it's about this man, Zelophehad, you'll see it in verse 1. His daughters came to Moses, and they had no brothers, and they wanted to keep the family name going. In verse 3 it says, these daughters say this about their father: "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord, in the company of Korah, but died in his own sins and had no sons." He died in his own sins. And our last reading then in 1 Peter. Our last reading in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Revelation and John, and then just go back there to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, it says here, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed, who his own self. So that'll do your reading tonight, and may the Lord bless just the simple reading of his precious word. We'll look here first of all in Mark chapter 8. And you know, as I thought about this Mark chapter 8, there's a word in here which drew me to give this man a title. And in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I seen the word prophet in here, and I thought, well, we'll put this title of this man, a business person. Profit in a business is something that you get when you buy in something, add a little on, and when you sell it, you make a profit. So I was thinking here, this is a business person. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, we know in the world today, it's not millionaires, it's not billionaires, it's trillionaires. Just as I was looking the other evening, I seen something flashing up, a court case. And it said the damages were, Philip, I maybe need to keep us right here. The damages that were being paid to this man, Musk, or whatever you call him, the world's richest man, it said it was 2,900,000,000. Is that 2.9 million, Philip? It was two, there was 9,000 and then another 6 noughts. This is the damages that are being paid. The figures today are crazy in the world. The numbers are boggling. But you know, tonight, man is craving after wealth and possessions. Men are becoming richer and richer, and now the big race is for space. They want to get into space. Well, we could laugh and joke about it that this world's obviously not big enough when they want to get to space now. But it seems that way. Man wants to get richer and richer. Now they want to get to space. And not before long will they be trying to make some kind of habitat up there that people can go and dwell. This is all what they're striving for, the space race. And it says here, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, tonight, people, these men, have no thought of God. But the thing that they're failing to realize is that they have a soul. Remember back in Genesis, you read that God breathed into man the breath of life. It doesn't end there. It says, and man became a living soul. These men in this space race who strive to get there first to gain the world are forgetting that they have a soul. They're also forgetting that one day they will leave it all behind. They will leave it all behind, and they can take nothing with them. But the sad thing tonight is that they have a soul, and it will last for all eternity. It's not just here for a good time and leaving. I was at Stuart Todd's funeral today, and it was just the service after. It was a private burial. But you know, tonight he's in heaven because his soul was saved. He realized when he was young that he had a soul to be saved. And tonight in here, if you're not saved, you need to realize that this world is not just for a short time. To get as much as you can, enjoy yourself as much as you can. There's pleasures okay in this world, but the Bible tells us they're for a season. But we have a soul, and it's our soul that needs to be saved. That little chorus we used to sing with the children, I've a soul to be saved, may this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. It's good to be saved when you're young. It's good to tell the young people about the Saviour. It's good to remind them about God created the heavens and the earth, and that's what we're going to do again with Philip's help tomorrow night. We're going to launch the wee YouTube channel again, and we're reminding the children that God created the heavens and the earth, because the day the children are being this is taken from them. God creating everything is something that's laughed at. They're being presented with other ways, and they're being confused in what is right and what is wrong. But here we have the business person, as I have called them here, who is going after the world and the pleasures they're in. But what profit is there in it? Because at the end of the day, he's going to go into the ground, and he's either going to go to two places. And that'll bring us on to our next point in a few moments. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, the sad thing tonight is, it's not just the rich business people. People are losing their souls over something very little. But you know, at the end of the day, most of it's about money, because the devil comes in. I was talking to a work colleague yesterday, and he was telling me of a friend who has a gambling addiction. And we know nowadays that, well, it used to be years ago that the bookies closed at maybe 8 or 5 o'clock in the day, and they couldn't gamble again till the next morning. But what's happening now is there's gambling online, it's on your phone, it's on television, you can gamble 24/7. And this man has a problem, and he's losing his soul to gambling. £50, maybe £60 a night, and he's gambling and he's losing it. But the sad thing is, and we all know that even in our sins, we need to realize and we need to understand that we have a problem. Before we can ever be reached, before we can ever ask for help, we must realize we have a problem. And tonight, we must realize that we are sinners, that we have a soul that needs to be saved, a soul that will last for all eternity if we ever want to be in heaven and there eternally. So our verse was, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Acts chapter 1 then and verse 25, we read these words when the disciples were choosing a replacement for Judas. It was told that Judas, he went to his own place, Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. A very solemn verse here. And as I thought about this last night and today, I thought, what kind of a person could we say that Judas was? In Mark we had a business person, someone who's looking to gain great profits. And as I thought about Judas solemnly, and I thought of his life, I thought he was a privileged person. Judas was indeed a privileged person to be one that walked this scene of time with the Lord Jesus. One who looked in the very face of the Saviour daily as he went about his ministry. Judas was there hearing his kind and gentle words. Judas was there to see those great miracles that he did, such as giving sight to the blind, the lame to walk, raising Lazarus from the dead. He was there. He was so privileged to be in the company of God manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world, he was so privileged that he saw and heard the Son of God daily. But we know Judas had a problem with money too. Scripture reminds us that he was a thief. And remember when Mary poured that expensive alabaster box on the Lord Jesus' feet, and there was murmuring, why could this not have been sold for a great price? And the Lord Jesus said, Mary has done this against the day of my burial. And he told it, it'll be recorded for all to read in history about what you've done. It said Judas was a thief, and you know, he was a privileged person. And I wonder tonight in here, do you realize the privilege that you have to be in a gospel meeting, to be brought up under the sound of the gospel? You maybe went to Sunday school when you were young, and maybe tonight you're listening and you've maybe wandered away. But you know, our prayer tonight would be that you would think about those faithful Sunday school teachers, your parents, your grandparents, who taught you the scriptures, who set you upon their knee and prayed with you, who loved your soul so much, and maybe they're gone now, and you're still here, and you are going on in your sin and have forgotten about those precious times. He was a privileged person. And each one in our country, you know, tonight is privileged in this part of the country in Northern Ireland to hear the gospel. The gospel is preached in several places every night, I would say, in this land. And the problem being, people have heard it so much now that they're switching off. The devil is distracting them in other directions. And even now we have this verse coming along. It's distracting people's minds. People can't focus clearly anymore. They can't focus. There's an excuse not to go somewhere, not to hear something. We don't want to mix. There's always an excuse of not hearing the gospel. And the COVID virus is real, but it also gives people another excuse. You know, I'm just not going out at the moment. Maybe I'll come out sometime to hear the gospel. And you know, they've probably used that excuse even for driving open airs, and they're sitting in their cars. But you know, there's privileged people in this country, and they don't know it. And they're still in their sin. And it says here, Judas went to his own place. He was privileged in being with the Lord Jesus. Imagine being with the Lord Jesus and seeing his miracles, looking on his face, hearing his kind words, just his mannerisms and what he'd done. And then, at the end, going and betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Back then, it was talked about the price of a slave. And if we try to add up today, some people have said £16. Some people have said £7. But either 7 or 16 or £20, you can see how pathetic it was to sell his own soul for 30 pieces of silver, to sell the Saviour, the one who came into the world to save. And you know, tonight, as I've talked about gambling addictions and things, people are selling their souls for very little. They're selling their souls for very little. A small thing, and they're going after it and forgetting about their soul. So Judas was a privileged person to be in the company of the Saviour, to hear him and to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Now, we know in Scripture that he showed remorse. He went back and he fared that silver down. And those men bought the potter's field with it because they said it was blood money. And you know, the sad thing was that Judas went and ended his life. It says he fell headlong and burst open. Such a sad way for a privileged person to end up in a state like that. And tonight, right across our land, there's people who were brought up under the sound of the gospel. And tonight, they'd weep with you, they'd cry with you, and they would show great signs of remorse. But you know, the bottom line is tonight, they'd rather have their sin. They'd rather have the pleasures than turn away from what they're after. And Judas, it says here, went to his own place. Tonight, for someone to be in the company of Christians to hear the gospel message and to die in their sins, well, there's only one place that can go. And that's to a lost eternity, a place called hell, forever, where the soul never dies. Where the worm, it says, never dies and the fire is not quenched. Tonight, he went to his own place. A privileged person heard the words of the Saviour, I wonder tonight, have you heard the gospel before? Have you heard it in the past, and yet tonight you're doing your own thing? You're selling out for some small, maybe your friends, your workmates, maybe a land, maybe some investment, maybe simple drink or alcohol or cigarettes. You know, the devil wants to pull you away tonight. He wants to put those thoughts of eternity and your soul at the back of your mind. He wants you to ply on into a lost eternity and be damned forever. Judas, it says, by transgressions fail that he might go to his own place. Then we've read here in Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27 tonight. We've read this verse. We'll just turn to it. I'll just turn to it. Numbers 27. It says here, a man's two daughters. It says here, our father died in the wilderness. He was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sins. There's a wee bit of history about this, but we're not going to go into that tonight. We're just concentrating on these five words, died in his own sins. You know, tonight in our land, there's people, and, well, people today call us good living. But there's people today in their land and they're good living. They're upright. They're religious. They go faithfully to their church. They wouldn't do anybody any harm. And that's all to be commended tonight. That's all to be commended. In these days when people tramp over each other, it's great to have time for your friends and for your neighbours. This man here didn't really get involved in the company of Korah. This was a group of men who tried to go against Moses. They couldn't wait for God and his plan in the wilderness. They wanted to, as it were, do things their own way. But this man, it says, he didn't get involved in this. But the daughters just say it here. He simply died in his own sins. You know, tonight, what I'm trying to tell you here tonight is that you don't have to be a big sinner. You don't have to be getting involved in the things of the world. You don't have to be running with the crowd. But tonight you must just acknowledge that you are a sinner. You know, it says in Scripture, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born in our sin. We were born with our back towards God on the way to a lost eternity. And unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven, it says here in this, with the words of this, you'll die in your sins, and it'll be your own sins. You know, you hear people saying, well, you know, I'm not as bad as that group of people. You see what they're at, smoking, drinking. I'm not like that. I don't do anybody any harm. I haven't killed anybody. I'm not like your man. They say he's got good living, but you don't know his past. Well, the thing tonight is God knows his past. And anybody like that who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ has been forgiven and will be in heaven. But tonight we must urge you and remind you that this man died in his own sins. And when it comes to the time when you stand before God, you'll not be able to talk about somebody else's sins. You'll not be there for anybody else's sins. You'll not be there for your brother's sins, your parents' sin, your friend's sin. You'll not be there representing their sin. So tonight, don't you worry about anybody else. Because that day when you meet God, you'll be there in your own sin. How big or how small. And you know, tonight, the people are upright in this country. And we're not condemning that. But people tonight fail to realize that rejecting the gospel message, rejecting what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them at Calvary is a big sin. And it's a sin that'll bring them to a lost eternity. And it says here, this man died in his own sin. And as tonight is your own sin, you need to be concentrating on. Forget about everybody else. Forget about comparing yourself with other people. Tonight, look at yourself, look at your own life, and realize, I have sin in my life. I'm a sinner. And tonight I need to be forgiven. And we know tonight that that only forgiveness can only come through the finished work of Calvary and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, it says, died in his own sins. But now tonight, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we've looked at a business person, we've looked at a privileged person, we've looked at a simple person. This person was simple, a simple life, didn't do anybody any harm. But you know, to go out into a lost eternity not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ is the biggest sin of all. And you'll die for your own sin. That was a simple person. And in 1 Peter now, as we look at chapter 2 and verse 24, I wrote on this here a sinless person. This was the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who came into this world to die for the lost. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Look up to verse 22, it says here about this man. That's why tonight I wrote on it a sinless person. It says here, who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He did no sin, neither was there any guile found in his mouth. And here we have these two words again, his own. It says here, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. This was a sinless person. This was the Lord Jesus Christ who came into the world, who left, we sing, the splendors of glory, knowing his destiny. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world not to save himself, but to save you and me. We know in John chapter 3 and verse 16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We read about, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the world and lose his own soul? We read about Judas went to his own place. We read about this man who died in his own sin. They all had a condition of sin, but here we have someone who was sinless, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the only one who could take away our sin. This morning we had a precious time around the Lord's table, and we remembered about those hours of darkness. And each Sunday morning we come here, it's often mentioned those hours of darkness when God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. And we try in our small infinite minds to, as it were, just realize and take it in what the Lord Jesus went through on that cross. He certainly suffered at the hands of those cruel men. Imagine we again this morning were remembered at how the Lord Jesus allowed those men to take him. And remember what Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. And they took him and they buffeted him. They punched him, they tore the hair from off his face. He more than likely had a beard and they just ripped it right out. Flesh and all. Not only that, they buffeted him. Not only that, they spat in his face. They plowed upon his back, Isaiah says, they made long their furrows. This was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God who came into this world to die for you. I wonder tonight, Does it mean anything to you? Does it move you to think that someone would love you so much that he would come and die for you? Just a few simple notes here just on this verse as we finish. Who is own self? That's the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bore our sins, that's what he did. He wasn't on that cross for his anything he had done, but as for what we had done, he was there. In his own body, that's where he did it. It was his own body on the tree. His body was he gave his life a sacrifice. His blood was shed in his own body on the tree. That's where he did it. When they came to the place called Calvary, it says, there they crucified him. And it says here on the tree, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead should live unto righteousness. That's why he did it. So that sinners on the road to a lost eternity, in darkness, in blindness, no other destination but hell itself, could be made righteous, could have their sins forgiven, could be washed whiter than the snow. And by his stripes we are healed. That's the pain he went through. Physical pain at the hands of those cruel men. These weren't just normal featherweight boxers. These were strong Roman soldiers, heavyweights. And the pain that they inflicted on the Lord Jesus, there's no human body today could go through that pain. Then they took him and they lifted him on that cross. And in those hours of darkness, when God blinded out the vision of all men in darkness, the sun, it says, refused to shine. In those 3 hours, when God put his son through what we deserved, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be righteous, that we could be accepted, that we could be saved from going to a lost eternity, that we could be in a place called heaven and not hell, that our soul could live forever. Tonight, if you're saved, are you rejoicing that your name's written in heaven, that the sinless Savior came into this world to die for you? I wonder tonight where you stand. I wonder tonight about your soul. I wonder tonight about your own sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said in his word, if ye die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot come. If ye die in your sins, and it'll be your own sin. Tonight we've talked about a business person. We're not just solely thinking about a business person. There's nothing wrong with having a business. But to put it before your soul is an awful tragedy. We're thinking tonight of a privileged person, someone who has heard the gospel many times. And in Judas's life, he seen the face of the Savior. He walked with the Savior. And we read here just about a simple person. Didn't do anybody any harm. Was religious maybe. But it says he died in his own sin. And here we've read finally in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Tonight you've heard the gospel again. The warning has went out. If you die in your sins, whether they go, ye cannot come. Tonight we just pray that you would trust the Savior. Know that your soul will be in heaven. Know that you have peace with God through the finished work of Calvary. And I'll just read this verse and then we'll finish. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We pray tonight that you would find Christ as your Saviour and know your sins forgiven and know that your place one day will be in heaven where the soul and the body will live for all eternity in that place of heavenly bliss. Shall we pray? Our God and eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee again tonight for the gospel. We thank thee for the living word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. And tonight we would pray that for someone listening or someone in our audience that has not yet fully put their trust, put their all in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for them at Calvary, that tonight they would realize that they have a soul that needs to be saved. And it is their own sins that will keep them out of heaven and end them in a lost eternity if they don't come to the one who knew no sin. The one who had no sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. The one who, in his own body, bore their sin on the tree. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We pray tonight that someone might just surrender all. Think about life. Think about death. Think about what it is to go out of this world into a lost eternity with no hope. To await the judgment day, to stand before the Lord Jesus. To think of what he will say to them. Those final words, depart from me, I never knew you. Tonight, Lord, we would pray that if there's anyone that's privileged to have Christian parents, to have been under the sound of the gospel, they'll not squander this, but they'll treasure it. They'll go in for Christ tonight and find him as their own and personal Savior. So we'd pray that the Holy Spirit would speak on. In the Lord Jesus' precious name, amen.